If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Well, no matter what your pilot tells you or the flight attendant tells us, taking a plane trip these days is likely to be scary for some people, uncomfortable, and pretty nerve-wracking. For millions of people, it's all that and just absolutely frightening to some. Captain Ron Nielsen has been a pilot for almost 40 years. He is was a captain for a major airline. They have the age 60 rule that calls for mandatory retirement of pilots, so he was essentially done with that part of his career. But, you know, flying has always been his passion. Now he devotes much of his time and energy to helping other people be able to fly. And, you know, it's a harrowing thing. Captain, thanks for coming on today. Let me ask you something. When somebody watches a movie like Flight with Denzel Washington and the incredible thing that what he did with that plane in that movie, whether or not it's doable or not, that's up for debate, I guess. But when somebody watches a movie like that, or somebody sees what's happened with the Malaysian airline, the incident there a couple of months ago, does that set a heck of a lot of people back?
Well, you know what it does? It actually just triggers. It like takes the lid off their fear. So, you know, our fear is there, and it gets triggered by certain things, and fear happens, unfortunately, is one that triggers a lot of people. So movies like that, stories in the news, actually just unleash the fear. It was always there. You know, it just kind of takes the lid off.
Could anybody have done that with an airplane like he did in that movie Flight, Captain?
I would love to tell you that I could, but no. The interesting thing about that particular movie is the setup for the initial problem where they lost control of the pitch of the airplane was actually based upon an actual accident that happened in 2000 off the coast of L.A. But the recovery was that was out of the realm of possibility, particularly if you had the problem that they did. But it makes a great script.
Yeah. And I guess we're all at the mercy of maintenance crews, right? I mean, as pilots as talented as they are, I mean, if these maintenance crews have to be on their ball game.
Yeah, they do. And the thing is, you know, mercy's not like a likely word that I like to use think about. But no, I'm just kidding with you. You know, yeah, we all do that. But the use of the word mercy kind of conjures up what many of your listeners are thinking about, you know, that we are at the mercy. But the fact of the matter is the way that the airline industry became the safest way to travel on the planet is because of, sadly, sometimes there were accidents, and we learned what mistakes that we didn't do. But if we investigated traffic accidents with the same level of intensity that we do airplane accidents, we'd have a lot safer highways as well. So maintenance is something that's been tried and proven. And I like to joke with my classes that it's not Orville and Wilbur's airplane anymore. We've had a lot of technology and really technology is what accounts for a majority of the safety right now. I'd love to tell you that it's all in the, you know, because the skill in my hands, but really technology has made it the safe way to travel that it is.
Well, let's help some folks out. Here's Dr. Mike Royson. Dr. Mike?
You know, Ron, we're talking, by the way, to Captain Ron, and it's Ron Nielsen, the Plane Whisperer. He's a retired Air Force pilot as well as American West, which is part of the U.S. group. And since he retired at the mandatory age of 60, he has run fearlessflight.com, which teaches people how to overcome their fear of flying. So, Ron, I was actually very surprised. I talked to someone who I play ping pong with every Saturday before I come on the show, and he usually beats me, although I triumph today, so I can say that since he listens. I said, you know, you fly all the time. And he said, and you fly all the time. Do you ever get nervous? And I said, no. And he said, well, you know, we held a contest for the best teacher at the Ginn Academy, which is in Cleveland. And he said the winner was to get a family trip from the teachers who were rated highest by the students, as well as on some other performance measures. And the teacher who won was a round trip to San Francisco with a week stay in San Francisco at one of their hotels and all expenses paid, etc., for her, that teacher and the family. So the teacher who won begged to say, "Can I go to Chicago instead? Because I don't fly." And I was totally amazed at the numbers you quoted. And so the graphs you have in this are really illustrative. So it is someplace over 10% and maybe as high as 25% of the problem.
Absolutely. And that's my personal experience as well, is when I would fly in the latter part of my career, before we'd push back, I would actually get up out of the seat, and instead of using the PA, I would go back and just greet the folks walking all the way through the cabin just to let them know that everything's okay, because I learned that a lot of them had a lot of anxiety. But the numbers are staggering. It's truly amazing how many people are white-knuckled or avoiders, meaning that they do it, but they hate it, or they'll do anything to avoid it. Yeah, but the numbers are quite large.
Now, the other thing, you have some graphs here that really do show how technology has changed. And by the way, medicine in the operating room and ICU learned a lot from flying and from the same thing. So we learned to do the same technological changes, and we paralleled you. But it looks like a lot of the airplane accidents went down in the 60s as technology changed, and that allowed a lot of departures to increase. These are some really remarkable graphs showing that airlines are much safer than roads per mile or per passenger, and that the number of accidents has, especially in commercial flying, has just about disappeared.
It truly has, and it gets down to where, you know, the point of diminishing returns, it's hard to get any safer than it really is. And an interesting, I was involved in the human factors industry, which is what you're alluding to, and you're right. The medical community came to us in the airlines back in the 80s when we had a few accidents in the 70s that triggered a whole new sense of awareness in aviation, that we needed to look at why perfectly good airplanes were crashing sometimes. And we found this thing called human factors, and it doesn't always mean the pilots, but the pilots are the last ones. So usually they can make a difference, so oftentimes it's their efforts that are the last to be recorded. But the medical community, you know, acknowledged that they were having a lot of, you know, loss of patients in their hospitals. And so they looked at some of the changes that we made to because a lot of, particularly in an ICU or an operating room, you have some of the similar dynamics that you do have on the flight deck there with strong personalities and people who are in a supportive role, who may or may not be comfortable telling the boss that, hey, are you sure you want to do that? And that was one of the big innovations that came out of aviation.
Now, the other one of the things that happens when people have fear of flying is, do you take them on a plane? Do you give them a flight simulator? How do you get them used to this? What's the first step to overcome this?
Well, the first step they do, fortunately, is that is acknowledge the fact that they've got a fear of flying. And the first thing I do is I have them raise their arm, bend it at the elbow, and pat themselves on the back and say, way to go, you've stepped up, and that's going to do more to get you over your fear than anything. I bring them into a classroom, and then part of that is we put them on I put them on an airplane. I have an arrangement with an airline here in Phoenix for my local classes. Because of the recent publicity, unbelievable to me, I had a fellow who has actually a movie studio, a set in California, and so we'll be starting classes in Los Angeles using a cabin simulator. And so I'm looking forward to that. But basically, we get them in to talk about their fears and deal with anticipatory anxiety. Those are those fears that, you know, what's that sight? What's that sound? What are those? What's the sensation that I'm
experiencing? Well, Captain Ron, we're going to...
You bet.
Captain Ron, I'm going to have to break off now because we got a hard break. We'll come back with you and talk about what you do and the process of overcoming it. It's Captain Ron and Fearless, I guess it would be Fearless Flight. We'll be right back, Joe.
Thank you, Dr. Mike. Captain Ron Nielsen, right, retired Air Force commercial pilot. And his website is fearlessflight.com. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
Is your skin aging before your eyes? There is something you can do to reverse those signs of aging. I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and my solution doesn't involve a knife or a needle. It's a serum I created called Nighttime. Nighttime makes your skin smoother, brighter, and thicker with just one step each day. I've packed Nighttime with vitamin C and A, moisturizers, fruit acids, skin brighteners, and antioxidants. That's a lot of science in one bottle. But that's what it takes to make your skin look younger and more attractive. Until Labor Day, when you purchase two bottles of Nighttime, you'll get a third bottle free with free shipping. Call 855-940-1800. That's 855-940-1800, or on the web, it's drperrys.com. That's drperrys.com. Put the word Radio MD in the discount box to receive three bottles of Nighttime for the price of two.
Radio MD is giving away $25 gift cards, and you can be a winner. You can spend the $25 in the Life Extension Store online for the best quality vitamins, minerals, and unique specially made formulas. It's the gift of health, and it's easy to win. Just go to RadioMD.com/contest. That's RadioMD.com/contest, or look for the contest entry on our site. It's just like cash, $25 to spend on the great health products at Life Extension from your friends at Radio MD. Enter now, RadioMD.com/contest.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize your message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Captain Ron Nielsen, the plane whisperer, is a retired Air Force pilot, flew commercially for years, and now helps people overcome their fear of flying. Through his live classes and webinars, he's restored confidence to thousands who are now flying again with a smile on their face. Captain Ron's website is fearlessflight.com, fearlessflight.com. It's very infrequently we talk with a pilot, so we have to ask about, I'm sure you have an opinion on that Malaysian airliner. Is it all probably a good bet that thing is crashing at the bottom of the ocean?
I would say pretty much so, yeah. The fact that they turned off course, that was a conscious decision on somebody's part, and without a clearance or without declaring emergency, pilots just don't do that. So it's probably not a good sign, that's for sure.
All right, here's Dr. Mike again. Dr. Mike.
Now, fear of flying is I was totally amazed, 10 to 25%. And you said the first thing you do is you sit them down and have them pat themselves on the back because they recognize their problem. Second thing you do is you took them into an airplane in Phoenix, or now you're going to take them on a airplane set. And I guess we can sign up for this if you've got the problem. It's fearlessflying.com. But tell us, so once you get them in the airplane, what do you do? Is it just repeated experience, or what else happens?
Well, up until August 16th will be our first class in the LA area, but in the Phoenix area here, when I do the live classes, we have a classroom portion, and then we'll be taking them on an airplane, as I said. And it's a static airplane, and many of them, believe it or not, make me promise that I won't move the flight or the airplane during the class. But what we do is we work on anticipatory anxiety, and that's the anxiety that where you think about what's going to happen to you on the airplane. And again, it's often related to the many of the 60,000 thoughts we have a day. In the case of a fearful flyer, they're obsessing over the sights, sounds, and sensations that are unknown to them, and they interpret kind of negatively as a sign of something going wrong. But what you do is you answer their questions. What's this? What's that? What does this do? How do you land? What are the risks on takeoff and things like that? And then the other part of it is the actual what I call phobic anxiety, and that's where they're on the airplane and they're actually making a flight. And those are the fight or flight system that's hijacked their normal rational thought. And what we do is we teach them some techniques, breathing, relaxation, things that they can do to actually calm themselves down. And as you probably are aware of, you know, if I can calm my physiological arousal, the things that are going on oftentimes outside of my consciousness, then I can actually start to manage my level of arousal. So breathing, and one of the things that I learned early on is I have them grab a drinking straw when they go through the food court in the airport, and you just control your breathing. And I use a drinking straw because it minimizes the chances of them hyperventilating, which further adds to their confusion. So if you just breathe in and out slowly, about 10 to 12 breaths per minute through a drinking straw, you can control your rate of breathing, and you can control some of the other physiology that goes along with that, and you can actually calm yourself. And if you can keep yourself below that level at which you trigger panic and panic attacks, then you've pretty much you've got it made, you know. And I teach them that if you can manage your anxiety in the first couple of minutes of flight, you really have a majority of the work done for you.
And breathing through a straw, obviously, you can't hyperventilate, meaning you can't exchange too much air, lower your CO2, and get a hyperventilation syndrome. So that helps with your anxiety. I assume the people who come there. In the Phoenix area, are there classes run in other areas, or are you going to do a virtual online version of this once you get the LA sitting? Because obviously people in Chicago don't want to fly to Phoenix to go to the course to overcome their fear of flying. So are there courses like this run throughout the country? That's one of the questions we have from Donna here is, in fact, she said, I live in Chicago. Is there a course like this in Chicago? And if not in Chicago, is there one like this in a place I can travel to, like by train, like Detroit or Milwaukee?
I believe there may be a course in Milwaukee there. This is my first opportunity to expand my reach in terms of live courses in the LA area. But what I've done for years is coaching, and I do online webinars and courses and live coaching. So if they go to fearlessflight.com, I can certainly help them. They can get a free consultation for 15 minutes, and I can sure help them find resources and help them come up with the next step to do that. But I am really excited about the opportunity to do this. And as you know, with technology now, the ability to live cast is coming. And so one of the things we're hoping to do with this new level of instruction with the next set of live classes is to live cast so that we can actually have people participate online. Because I've actually helped more people over the phone and over the internet than I have live, for obvious reasons. Most people don't want to fly to Phoenix to take a fear of flying class.
Now, the other thing you mentioned is that you retired at age 60, and they changed the rules. So we do a lot of inspections for the FAA here on pilots in our executive health program at the Cleveland Clinic, and I know it's 65 now. Are there thoughts of increasing it as our longevity increases, do you know? And after they changed it back to 65, from 60 to 65, could you unretire, or was that a fait accompli already?
Well, to answer your last question first, I could have actually gone back, but unfortunately, the way the rules are written with seniority is I would have had to start all over at the bottom of the pecking order again. So I chose to move on, and helping people, much to my surprise, overcome their fear of flying became a passion for me. This is the 26th year I've been doing this now. And as far as the age limit, my understanding is in Canada, they now have lifted it completely. So it is simply you have to pass, you know, we're always under the scrutiny, as you know, about passing a first-class medical. And so in Canada now, all you have to do is pass the medical and to prove that you're medically qualified. And if they have one person in the cockpit that's over age 60, most of the airlines require someone on the flight deck to be under age 60, kind of as a balancing act. But yeah, the age limits. And I would expect eventually that the U.S. airlines would probably lift that restriction as well and just make it on a medical qualification basis.
So we've been talking with Dr. or Captain Ron Nelson. I almost gave you a doctorate, Ron. Captain Ron Nelson, who runs the website fearlessflying.com. You can log on there. Has a program in Phoenix and pretty soon in Los Angeles that will, in fact, allow people in those both of those areas and maybe online. Go to fearlessflying.com and you can contact him. Joe?
Okay, Dr. Mike, and this is you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
Spring and summer bring out the best of nature, but blooming flowers, grass, and weeds emit pollen everywhere. Spring cleaning, molds, funguses, and pollens can cause severe allergic reactions. It's time to fight back. Get a blast of nature's most powerful natural remedy with Oreganol P73, the most powerful oil of oregano available anywhere. Oreganol P73 is an extract of hand-picked wild oregano grown in mineral-rich soils found only in the mountains of the Mediterranean. Experience this powerful and effective spice you can't find anywhere else. It is so effective, even the ancient Greeks used oregano for their health. And it's not just a mere spice. Oreganol P73 is also available as gel caps and as a sea salt based nasal spray. Use Oreganol P73 and stay healthy all summer long. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Available in natural food stores nationwide or visit AmericanWildFoods.com.
You may already take omega-3s for heart and brain health, but what most people don't realize is that DHA is really the preferred form. Did you know if you take omega-3s but your body cannot convert them into the preferred DHA form, you won't get much benefit? The ultimate DHA omega-3 would be water-soluble, so it's already in the right form for digestion. That's a game-changer. It would eliminate the fish burps, be good-tasting, and all-natural. It would be environmentally sustainable from algae oil, plus non-GMO and allergen-free. Well, I have some good news for you. Empirical Labs already invented this. And better yet, you can get a bottle right now for 50% off with a special offer at TakeOmega.com. This is the only water-soluble DHA supplement, plus it's vegan. So go to TakeOmega.com right now for a limited time savings, 50% off at TakeOmega.com. That's O-M-E-G-A. TakeOmega.com.